everywhere, all the way around. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. We'll be looking in the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. We'll start reading there, chapter 9, the book of Matthew, and it's about verse number 2. Matthew, chapter number 9, and about verse number 2. If you find the place you're able to stand, then we'll look into that chapter that's there, and we'll read verse 2. And behold, they brought to him, talking about Jesus, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, and said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want us to pray, and then I'm going to preach a little while on some things we ought to be happy about. Our Father, bless your word to every heart. We thank you for the privilege to come together like this. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl. We pray that now you'd have your will and way in every heart that's here. There may be somebody lost without God. May they come to know thee in the free pardon of sin. Somebody, Lord, just saved but dragging through life. Lord, maybe they can leave here, Lord, with a little more giddy up in their step. We'll say thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. Some things that we ought to be happy about. He said, be of good cheer. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a note of happiness. And by the way, whenever we begin to look into the Bible, you begin to see several things. And as a result of that, well, I want to tell you that I appreciate you folks that let these evangelists know about what time they're starting, when we ought to quit. Oh, all that right there. Yeah, y'all got me gun-shy. Is it time yet? No, you got 5 minutes. So it's nothing like being honest. We're exhorted to be able to follow the path of righteousness. Did you know that? In other words, there's a lot of paths that are out there. And fact is, whenever you are exhorted, the Bible said you're to be careful and don't turn there. But in 1 John chapter number 4, about verse number 6, he talked about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You're going to follow one of them. Over there in the Bible, whenever he talked about is that we ought to be able to follow in righteousness and follow him because of the paths of righteousness. Psalm 23 and verse number 3 brought that up. Jesus will lead us in the paths of righteousness. And you're either in the path of righteousness or ruination, one or the other. I want to say the Bible said the wages of sin is death, but thank God for the gift of God, that's eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, we're exhorted that we might be able to follow in the path with him. Did you know what the Bible said? Here, everybody's going to need a little somebody every now and again to be around. And let me tell you, nobody lives or dies unto themselves. But the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 is that we're not to follow after lust, but to follow with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Yeah. Now, I'm telling you what lust will do is it'll lead you the wrong direction. Yeah. You ever go to thinking about something, you know, that you wanted real bad and you just couldn't, you got obsessed with it. That's all you think about night and day. And then finally you end up buying it and wondered why God let you have that. You ever do that? There's been other times, you know, you wanted it and you could just nearly every time you slobbered, it tasted like what you wanted. Oh, I got to have that. But you went ahead and didn't do it, maybe because of finances or whatever else or needed to hold on. And then after some time, it passed. And you thought, boy, I'm glad I didn't do that now. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that the Bible warns us that we're to be not led astray by the error of the wicked. And let me tell you what will cause that is if you go to letting lust lead you instead of the Lord. All right, let's get right into it. Be of good cheer. That's what he said in the passage there. Number one is we ought to be glad and we ought to be of good cheer because our sins have been forgiven. Do you realize and know that this guy here couldn't heal himself? He could not. There was absolutely, it's beyond his control. You can't save yourself. You can't get born again by yourself. It'll take the grace of God and faith imparted to you from the Lord Jesus Christ to birth you into the family of God. Be of good cheer. Let me tell you, thy sins have been forgiven you. We can read all the related passages concerning this man, and the Lord saw their faith. And I want to tell you something right now. There's a certain amount of people that I can promise you that they're never going to change whatsoever. Most some. There's a lot of them we find. They're in church, out of church, more out than are in. And I don't care what you do. That's the way it's always going to be. I've been doing this thing a long time, 30 or 40 days. I don't know, 45, 46 years now. And let me tell you right now is that it don't take long being out of church. You can read people. You can read why they're coming, when they're coming, if they're coming, what they're involved in, why they're doing it, what they like, what they don't. I got to tell you right now is that make no mistake about it, if it's that easy to be able to read people, how much easier it is for the Lord to be. You know, the Lord don't ever have to ask me, like, what do you think about that family, this family? What do you think? How do you feel about that right there? I mean, if he were to ask me, he'd just see if I knew and I could see what he saw. God knows everything. And let me tell you right now is that you'll find is that there's a lot of times, you know, people start out. And by the way, you boys and girls and young men and young ladies, you're at the age now getting close. God's going to be pounding on your heart. What do you think that's for? If you're not saved by the grace of God, what do you want to do? Turn out like you drunk kin folks or like you dope head kin folk? Somebody, you know, they on TV and them little girls that don't even know what they're doing lifted up those pro-abortion signs and pro-choice and saying, keep your hands off my body. Well, if you'd have told whoever that young man with you was whoring around with, if you'd have told him that, keep your hands off my body, you probably wouldn't be in the shape that you're in. See what I'm talking about? In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that you and I both know. In fact, you know, you could learn by observation if you just would. I've got some kin folks that I can tell you right now. Do I care about them? Sure. Will I preach to them? Yeah, I have. Sometimes I just don't say nothing, but yes, I have. Have I seen them under conviction? Oh, yes. But I can tell you right now, make no mistake about it, they're not any closer in than they ever have been. That saddens me. It breaks my heart. But make no mistake about it is that they could look around by observation and see what the other kin folks have done and where it's led them. Some of my kin folks, it's led to insane asylum. It's led to prison. It's led, you know, to being trying to dry out somewhere. I'm not talking about wetting the bed, even though that's probably involved in it. But I'm talking about going somewhere, trying to get detoxed, you know. They used to have my uncle in there, and back in the days whenever the Statler brothers were singing Counting Flowers on the Wall, and that don't bother me at all. And all that bit is, remember that song that they used to sing? Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. That was some of the lyrics. Well, anyhow, they went to visit him, and he said, I'll tell you right now, there ain't much to do except smoke cigarettes and watch Captain Kangaroo in this place. And they thought, man, you know, it seems like he's just not making a lot of progress. He had somebody from the outside that he was slipping money to that was smuggling in whiskey for him. I mean, pretty slick with it. Now, I will tell you something, unsaved people fall prey to those kind of things. All them little old girls that you have seen that you thought was having fun, now their belly button's poked wrong side out. They got nobody to be able to make a living for them. They're from pillar to post. Let me tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, you can learn by observation. That's not the route. That's not the route to go. In the lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said they brought this man. He couldn't help himself. And let me tell you right now, when they brought him before Jesus, they had faith that God could do something. And he said, be of good cheer, thy sins have been forgiven. What a wonderful thing that is. Number two is Matthew 14. Look there. Now, he not only can forgive you of your sins and save your soul, but he can calm the storm that's in your life. You know, the Bible said over in chapter number 14, and about verse number 27 is where that we'll be looking at in a moment, that he had charged him to go to the other side. And as they were going, they had been out there rowing. And all of a sudden, the wind became contrary to them. And they thought they were going to perish. And then they saw Jesus walking on the water. And they were troubled, thinking that it was a spirit. But notice in verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer and be not afraid. Let me tell you something. You may be in the worst storm of your life right now. There may be something physically, there may be something mentally that's got you so scared and spooked and bogged down. What you need to do is just listen to that still small voice that says, hey, be of good cheer. And let me tell you what he did was, is that he calmed the storm and he got back there in the boat with them. And of course, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about how Peter got out and went that way and began to sing. I just want to say to you that it's a good thing to be able to know that God is able to control the storms that even happen in our life. All right, in the book of St. John, chapter number 16, there's a passage there in about verse number 33 that we want to look at. John chapter number 16, it's about verse number 33. The Bible says, when you look into it, these things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Let me tell you something we ought to be happy about is that you're going to have, every now and again, some enemies face you in life. If somebody said, well, I can't stand people that don't like me. Well, you better not be a Christian then. I can't stand people, you know, that want to talk about, well, you sure don't want to be a pastor. Well, I can't, you know, let me tell you, if you live for God and walk with God, there are going to be some enemies that rise up out of nowhere. And some of them of your own kindred. Here's what Jesus said, looking at a passage again, whenever he says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? I've overcome the world. Do you know your service can be in the will of God? Listen, here you are wanting to live for God and serve God and magnify the Lord. And what you ought to be doing is asking God to speak to your heart. Let God have his will in your way. Surrender your heart, your life, and your soul. And receive Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. And let me tell you, even though you're a Christian, there's going to be some obstacles and some enemies that are going to rise up against you. Let me tell you, whenever they do, just be of good cheer because he said, I've overcome the world. There's a lot of battles in life. Sometimes they're physical. Sometimes they're mental. Sometimes they're spiritual. And let me tell you right now is, you know the reason why that whenever you've got some, whether it be mentally, whether it be physically, do you realize that though that when in your mind there's something plagues you, you need to bring that up and out and talk to somebody about it that you can trust. See? You know, there's a lot of people that have gone berserk over things that they were imagining that they could have gotten victory over. But they didn't want anybody else to know it, see. It's good to be able to know that whenever you look at me and you say, well, hey, man, the preacher's a nut, so I'm not going to be worried about people thinking I am. You know, sometimes it's a marital problem. Sometimes it's another problem. And sometimes it's just a problem that's beyond anybody's reach here upon the face, but it's not beyond his reach. Be of good cheer. He said, because I've overcome the world. He can give you peace that'll pass all understanding. In the worst conflict of your life, the Lord can speak peace unto your heart and soul. I want to say to you that if you'll talk about it. Amen. I remember whenever we first got married. Well, I mean, I can remember back that far, but I remember not too long after all that business there. Listen, if you've been married any length of time, you're going to make your spouse mad. Oh, yeah. If you, there's an honest man. Yes, sirree. What was that little cliche we were learning? What was it? Obey lest you stray. That didn't work well on my wife this evening whatsoever. No, I didn't have it. It's not what I said, it's the way you said it. I asked somebody one time, you know, I said, well, is it what I said or the way I said it? Both. There's a person you can't help. I'm just saying to you that there was a many a time, you know, what's the matter, hon? Nothing, nothing. Well, sure there's something. Sure there's something wrong. I mean, I could tell whenever you pulled out a switchblade knife at the supper table and began, you know. No, she didn't. She didn't. She doesn't have a switchblade, but if she had, it would have come out. I'm just saying to you that whatever that it is that plagues your mind, sit down with somebody and talk to them about it. See? In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, in the book of Acts in chapter number 23, find that place right there real quickly, Acts 23. Now, the Apostle Paul has been arrested, and he's been before the Sanhedrin, and he's about to be sent to Rome. And let me tell you right now is that there's a lot of people in this world that hated the Apostle Paul a lot worse than they hate you and I. And the reason being is that I know that is because that now he's incarcerated. He's about to be shipped and headed to Rome. But his life is in danger. And in the book of Acts in chapter number 23 in verse number 11, and the following night the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Now there he is, being guaranteed by God, and told him, he said, "You be of good cheer, because you're going to Rome." All right, verse 12. "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together, and they bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy." Now, I'm going to tell you, it don't matter how many people may come up against you. If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God's against you, it won't matter how many other people's for you. He had more than 40 people. Now, I'm pretty sure I've had at least that many, and I don't know about it one time, but I'm pretty sure I've had at least that many in this church in the last 28 years. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, you better get your eyes on him and trust him and believe in him. Notice, if you will, in Acts chapter 27, and we're closing in verse 22 and in verse number 25. I want to say to you that number five is that you may be sinking and God's able to reach down and set you back up where you ought to be, walking with him. And as a brand from the burning, if you're not saved, and as a child of God, then that sinking feeling comes. Look in verse 22, Acts 27. "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Look at that. We're commanded to be of good cheer. "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." In other words, Paul said, "I belong to God and I serve God. And his angel, he sent an angel to ensure me and saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee.'" Verse 25, now we're going to be done. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Now, you know, the older that you get in the Lord, here's what you'll do. When you're first saved and you've been saved a while, you want to get everything and everybody around you corrected.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
You can't rest and work on yourself because you're busy trying to work on everybody else. And I know a lot of people needs working on. But you'll never learn to rest in the Lord and in the power of his might and to be happy as a Christian as long as you are working on everybody else and not on yourself. You're going to always find something wrong with somebody. You're going to always be down in the mouth. You're going to always, if I could just get this one or two little things straightened out or something that I wanted, or if I could get this loan, or if I could buy that bit, I got to tell you, that's none of that's what the problem is. You know what the problem is? We're not being of good cheer because of the promise, and that I just believe God. I just believe God. And, you know, as a result of that, it won't worry you nearly so much. Every now and again, I pick with all of y'all, somebody, and all of that, and somebody come up and say, "Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? Why, did somebody say something?" See? That's how jittery that we get if we're not careful. I just do it funning around, but some people, that's really real. I've known people in these last 45 years, excluding present company. So we're not going to be talking about you. That absolutely were just furious and full of the devil to the extent you could nearly about see the pitchfork in their hand and the flames shooting from their eyes and the horns growing. What seems to be your problem? So-and-so is talking about me in the church and I'm tired of it. Have you went to ask them? No? Well, let's go ask them. You'd be surprised how many times someone say, hey, what can I do for you? You've been talking about this person in a derogatory manner and you're mad at them, bad at them? About what? You tell right off, dumbfounded. See? Sometimes we let too many things spook us. I had a man one time that I was wishing, absolutely, I'd just like to just, you know, you ever just want to punch somebody right in the mouth? And every time I thought about him, it was terrible. And I ran on somebody that knew that same person and said, oh, yeah, they died a year and a half ago. I wasted a year and a half shaking my fist wishing over a dead man. Old Brother Phil, we fish over at Pinkston. And there's an old boy sitting over there, and he put up a private property on his little old pier thing. He didn't want nobody. Oh, that bothered him. Phil, it bothered him all the way. I'm talking about you could see him turn red face. Well, you know how he was. We was over there fishing one day, and he said, I'm going to get me a sign put out here, public water. I said, hey, by the way, I stopped and talked to the guy at the next pier. This guy had been dead over a year. Me and old Brother Phil, it don't take much from anybody. You can sow a little discord on me and I'll jump right in there with you. We wasted a lot of time on a man that was already dead, neither in heaven or hell, one of the two. Yeah, he asked him, let's see, Brother Joe, he was there fishing that day, wasn't he? Who else was there? And when they asked, ain't y'all got a job? Huh? Yeah, he was blankety blank, and he's filling the blanks in, yeah. I'm going to tell you, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Make no mistake about it, it's good to be saved by the grace of God and born into his family. If you're not, you're missing out the best on the best this life has to offer. And more than that, you're going to miss the greatest world to ever come when Jesus comes again. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. I pray that, Lord, now you'd finish the message in every heart. You know every need we have. Just says, I need to let go and let God have his will and his way. He's been knocking on my heart's door. I pray that, Lord, you'd help them to confess the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the free pardon of sin. Now go with us to our homes and give us, I pray, a good week, and we'll say thank you for loving us.